When I was a young kid, you know, kids, they, as they go that way, you know, they're always kind of looking up to adults, right? Like, who are we going to be? What am I going to be? And one of the adults that I really looked up to was my dad. I loved my dad. My dad, his name is Kenny. He was a farmer, and I remember my dad would bring me out into the fields, and we were crop farmers, so we planted corn and onions, lots of onions, lettuce, best sweet corn ever, sorry, in Colorado, pinto beans, things like that. But I remember we had just planted our lettuce crop. And we're out in the field, and my dad loved walking because we had to make rows because we had to irrigate with tubes, siphoning water down these furrows. And so we walked the field quite often to see how the seeds were growing. And I remember one time my dad bending down and gently rubbing the soil. It's soil, not dirt. Dirt's what you bring in the house. Soil's what you grow plants in. So he's wiping the soil away, and he's like, "Linfield, come here, come here." And we bend down, and of course, I'm like, "Okay, what are we looking at, Dad? Is there a worm, or what's happening here?" And he goes, see this seed right here?" He said, "This seed is going to grow up, and it's going to get harvest." He goes, "That's the same as you. You're going to grow up. You're going to mature. You're going to get nourished, and you're going to grow in your faith. And one day, you will get harvested by the God Almighty, and you will see him face to face." And I remember that has been burned in my head since that time that we looked at the lettuce seed. That everybody in Jesus, you're going to grow, you're going to mature, you're going to grow in your faith, and one day, we will be harvested to see Jesus face to face. I mean, what can I say about my dad except he left a great legacy? That he was a great man of God. Even in the darkest of valleys, he had no fear. I remember when he was first diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, and I was in the hospital there with him. And I said, "Oh man, how can this be? Why?" A lot of people have asked that question before. Why, God? Why? My dad. I mean, he's a man of God. He's a great dad. He's a great husband. He's a great man. Why him? And he said this. Again, we were walking in the fields. And after he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, he said, "Linfield, no matter what happens," and this was just like 6 years ago. I had my little kids there, Brianna and Addie, walking the fields, and he said, "Linfield, no matter what happens, I know that Jesus loves me. And whenever he is ready to take me home, I'm ready." And I'm thinking, what a legacy my dad left. And am I going to be like that? The night that my dad passed away, and this is maybe weird to share, but I like it. The night that my dad passed away, of course, I'm in Minnesota at the time. My sister was helping my mom take care of my dad. And he had this chair that he would sit in at home. And all of a sudden he said, "Hey, I need to go to the restroom." And so my mom and sister helped him to the restroom. And then on his way back, my sister said in the strongest voice that he's had in a long time, he said, "Where am I?" Sorry. And my sister said, it wasn't like he was asking a question. It was like he was excited. And she said, "Dad, you're at home." Let me sit you down. And just a few steps later, he said again, where am I? And as he sat in the chair, he breathed his last. I believe that my father was in the presence of his father. Oof, wasn't planning on starting this way. But what a legacy to leave. I mean, to know that your whole family knows Jesus as their saviors. And I miss him, of course. Just like anybody has lost a parent or a child, you miss them so much, but I know I will see him again face to face. And he will say, see, I told you, Linfield. Now imagine this. You're at the end of your life, looking back on all the twists and all the turns, the joys, the heartaches. And the question is, what legacy are you going to leave? Will it be one of regret or one bursting with hope and faith? Today, we're going to dive into Hebrews chapter 11 again. In this incredible hall of faith, we see ordinary people do extraordinary things by having faith in God. We're going to especially go into looking at verses 20 through 22, and we're shining kind of a spotlight on three patriarchs, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. Now, these men of God, even in their final moments on earth, chose to bless the future through faith. I mean, these aren't just ancient stories. If you think about it, they're kind of like rocket fuel for our own lives. So I want to unpack this with you. Let's unpack them and see how we can live with that same kind of unstoppable faith. So grab your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Here at Bridge Cities Church, we believe in reading the Bible, right? We want to see what God has said to us. And so if you don't have a Bible, our ushers are back in the back. They would love to give you a Bible. You can raise your hand if you want to read with us. They'll be on the screen too, but if you want to read the scripture and have it in your hands, they're there. So just raise your hand up if you need one. And if you don't have a Bible at home, remember, you can take this with you, okay? So when we go to Hebrews chapter 11, we read that first verse that we want to start off with. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now let's start with verse 20 of chapter 11. It says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. Oh, what a story this pulls out of the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 27, it talks about this. We see Isaac, an old, blind man, preparing to bless his sons. But just like any good soap opera, there is a twist. There's family drama, isn't there? If you know the story. You know that Jacob tricks his father by the help of his mom, tricks his father to get the first son's blessing. And Jacob gets this blessing that was meant for Esau. But yet, even amidst the mess, man, Isaac's faith, even though Isaac got tricked and gave the blessing to the younger son, even in that, his faith still shined through. He doesn't revoke the blessing. Instead, he affirms God's promise for both sons' future. Genesis 27, verses 28 is Isaac's blessing for Jacob. And it says this, if you go to Genesis chapter 28, it says, it's actually Genesis chapter 27, just to clarify here. It says, may God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you and blessed be everyone who blesses you. So we hear this blessing that Isaac is giving Jacob, but now in verses 39 through 40, we see Esau is getting a blessing as well. And this is what it says. 37, 39. If I can read right today, this is going to be really good here. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, Behold, away from the fatness of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck. Now later in Genesis 28, verses 3 through 4, Isaac intentionally blesses Jacob again. And this is invoking God's covenant with Abraham. So we go to verse 3. It says, God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he give the blessing of Abraham to you and to your offsprings with you, that you may take possession of the land of your sojourners that God gave to Abraham. Now, it's two different blessings, of course, but they're still inspiring. And why is this inspiring? Because Isaac could have been bitter and fearful about the future for their people, the future for the two sons, the brothers. But by faith, he spoke life over his children, trusting God's bigger plan. Now, of course, Jacob had the better deal of the thing, right, than Esau, but still, God had a plan for both. As theologian Charles Spurgeon once said, he said this, faith is the telescope through which we see the unseen. It brings the future into the present. Faith is. Isaac's faith wasn't perfect. I mean, he was human after all, right? But it propelled God's promise forward. This is thrilling to me. This is exciting to me. Because Isaac shows us, and I'd love for you to write this down, he shows us that faith speaks life into the future. I experienced that with my dad. The way he spoke to me, man, it has built my faith up right now, today. Faith speaks life into the future. Even when we can't see it clearly, faith sees the invisible, hears the inaudible, touches the intangible, and accomplishes the impossible. Isaac's blessings shaped a nation. We had Israel and Edom coming from Jacob and Esau. Because he trusted God's unseen plan, Isaac did. Romans 8:28 says it this way. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. And then again in 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. I remember when I was playing football, it was my sophomore year of college, and I did play college football, but this was on Thanksgiving morning, and I was back home, and I was playing flag football with a bunch of youth pastors, which actually turned into tackle football because we're youth pastors. And so we're on the football field, we're having a great time, it's almost time to leave, and I was a little quicker in those days, a little not so round in those days. And so I got pitched the football and I started taking off. Whew, and I'm gonna score and I'm gonna win this game. This is gonna be great. But in the distance, I see a youth pastor that was about 5'4", but his head was huge. Okay? It's a friend of mine, I can say this. And he was coming right towards me. And so as a football player, what do? I lower my shoulder, because I'm going to take the hit and hopefully bounce off. And I lower my shoulder, he lowers his as much as he can lower his, and wham, we collided head to head. Next thing I remember is I'm flying through the air, kind of like spread eagle, and all I see is grass underneath me. I hit the ground, and I kind of blank out. I come to, and my friend Curtis is like running towards me. He's like, what happened? Are you okay? What's going on? Linfield, talk to me. And I was, my face down to the ground. And I was like, oh man, my jaw really hurts. And so I turned over, he looked at me and he's like, oh my goodness. What had happened is that I completely crushed my cheek and my bones here. And so it was all sunk in. It was like I didn't have a face at all, except for this. And he's like, Linfield, we need to get you to the hospital right now. And I'm like, no, I'm fine. And then I touched myself, and it was like touching mashed potatoes. I just want to do that for the gross factor, okay? And then I'm like, yeah, I got to go to the hospital. So I pack ice on my face. They get me to the hospital. Thanksgiving morning, by the way. In the hospital, I walk in, and the nurse at the front desk sees all these guys coming in. And she's like, what can I do for you? And I took the ice off my face, and she says, oh, dear God. And she starts praying right there. It's like, we're going to get you a room right away. Anyways, long story short, I completely severed all my nerves in my face. I still can't feel in my face here. It's weird. Nobody tried to punch me though, okay? But after the swelling went down, after that I had reconstructive surgery, 5 hours in surgery to bring my face back. I couldn't have foretold that was gonna happen. I mean, it really messed me up. It really messed my face up. And I had to get my face restored. And I'm like, okay, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to look like I did before. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to talk right, to eat right. Because I had to work on my lip muscles to actually smile and move my mouth right. And I was like, okay, God, you have a plan for me. I know you do. I know your plan is good, but what is this all about? And I'm thinking, man, just like Isaac's story, God turns even our messes into masterpiece, because look at this now. I mean, seriously, right? No, he does turn our messes into masterpieces. Now, moving to Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 20. We go to verse 21, and it says, by faith, Jacob, we just talked about Esau, now we're talking about Jacob, by faith, or Esau, we talked about Isaac, now we're talking about Jacob. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Now, this is an interesting verse here. Because it says, it had to tell you his posture, what posture he was in as he blessed the sons of Joseph. And he was in a posture of worship. And he was leaning over his staff. When you read the story, you'll see that it's leaning over a staff over his bed. So he's weak. He's in a very frail, fragile situation. And he humbly leans on his staff as he worships. Now, you know, maybe you know, I don't want to assume anything, but the story of Joseph. So Jacob has all these sons, right? 12 sons. And then he has Joseph in there, and Joseph is his favorite. And so Joseph gets a coat of what? Do you guys know? Many colors, that's right. A beautiful, expensive coat, and he's kind of showing it off to his brothers. He's also having dreams about how his brothers will once bow down before him. And of course, as his brothers are hearing this, seeing the jacket, I mean, they're like, this guy, we got to take care of him. He thinks he's better than we are. And so what do? They put him in a pit. They pretend that he was eaten by wild animals, and they tell his dad, and they sell him to a caravan that's going to Egypt. And in Egypt, he gets sold as a slave, Potiphar's house. And then Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, and he's not going to take that. So then he gets thrown into prison. He's in prison for a while. Then Pharaoh's having these dreams. Nobody can interpret the dreams except for Joseph. He gets out of jail, goes to Pharaoh, interprets the dream, right? And then Pharaoh sets him up as second in command of Egypt. Talk about a crazy life, right? I mean, this all takes place in Genesis chapter 48, where Jacob, now an old and frail, is in Egypt. Because after Joseph became second in command, a famine happened. And so all of Joseph's brothers had to come to Egypt to get food. And finally, they figured out that Joseph was his brother. He said, bring your whole family here. I'll take care of you. And they've been in Egypt for a while. And Jacob is old, and he's dying, and he wants to bless Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And so we pick that up in Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. And this is him, Jacob, blessing Joseph's sons. 48 verse 14. It says, and Israel stretched out, Israel, another name for Jacob. God named him Jacob and Israel. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life along to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them, let my name be carried on, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now, in surprising twist here, Jacob, his life were twists, ups and downs. And another surprising twist, Jacob, also known as Israel, right, crosses his hands, giving the greater blessing to Ephraim, the younger. Why? Because Jacob's faith saw something. Jacob's faith saw God's sovereign choice beyond human tradition. And I don't want you to miss this detail. That Jacob saw beyond human tradition and the choice through faith. Jacob's life was a roller coaster. I mean, you got deception and exile, family strife. And yet, at the end of the day, his faith erupted in blessing. And if you are reading earlier in Genesis, if you're reading this story earlier in Genesis, we'll see that this whole scene of Jacob blessing through faith, the faith in God Almighty, was all done in a posture of worship. That's pretty crazy and amazing right there. It says in Genesis 47:31, the NIV says this, and Israel worshiped as he leaned on the top of his staff. He was worshiping God Almighty in the blessing of these two. And this shows us, and I want you to write this down, this shows us that faith worships through every season of life. Faith does. Faith worships through every season, ups and downs, the lows, the highs. Even after a life of trials and failures, Jacob's final act of faith in the great God Almighty was worshiping and blessing. I mean, this is a radical faith in action right here, turning weakness into worship. Billy Graham once said it this way. He said, the greatest legacy one can pass on to one's children and grandchildren is not money or other material things accumulated in one's life, but rather a legacy of character and faith. That's a great quote right there. How's your character? How's your faith? I mean, Jacob nailed that part. He did. The psalmist in the book of Psalms writes this in Psalm 71. He says, since my youth, God, you have taught me. And to this day, I declare your marvelous deeds. From the youth, he's been taught. Then he goes on saying, even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who are to come. And I love that. Lord, don't take me away. Don't leave me or take me away or not yet until I declare as much as I can to the next generation. Till I'm old and gray. Till life is about to seep out of me. Let me declare you. Jacob shows us that no matter our past, man, we can finish our race with faith. Worshiping God and blessing those who come after us. Now we go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, this final verse that we're going to look at. 11:22, it says, by faith Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. Joseph, always thinking ahead, right? Joseph's epic tale of his life is in Genesis. Genesis chapter 37 through 50, chapter 50, great story. From pit to palace, sold into slavery by his brothers, falsely imprisoned, rising to Egypt, second in command. What a great story. And Joseph never lost sight, though, in all of that, never lost sight of God's promises. On his deathbed, in faith, he declares, and we can go to Genesis chapter 50 to see what he declares here. He declares to his brothers in Genesis 50, 24, he says, and Joseph said to his brothers, I am about to die. Oh no. Joseph's probably like, I can't wait. I'm about to die, but God will visit you and bring you up out of this land to the land that he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died being 110 years old. They embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. And then centuries later, this, what he said was going to happen, was fulfilled. And we see that in Exodus. If you go to Exodus 13, we see that fulfilled in verse 19. It says, Moses took the bones. They're going out of Egypt now. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For Joseph had made the sons of Israel solemnly swear, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones with you from here. And then again, we see this in Joshua. Joshua carries his bones to the final resting place where Joseph needs is going to be laid. And in Joshua 24:32, it says this, for the bones of Joseph, which the people of Israel brought up from Egypt, they buried them at Shechem in the piece of land that Jacob bought from his son, from the sons of Haran, the sons of Shechem, for 100 pieces of money. It became the inheritance of the descendants of Joseph. I mean, Joseph's faith was forward thinking, forward looking, undeterred by current circumstances. He saw beyond Egypt's pyramids to the promised land. Man, what encouragement there. As A.W. Tozer once said, he put it this way. He said, faith is the gaze of a soul upon a saving God. So as long as we have our gaze, our faith, our is gazing towards God, man, he has your destination ready and waiting. Joseph's gaze was fixed on deliverance, inspiring his people to hope. That's faith. What faith that is. Joseph looked beyond Egypt's glory to a future only God could see. And it is so important for us to grasp that faith holds fast to God's promise. Hebrew 10:23 says this way. It says, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, it says. For he who promised is faithful. Let's not waver on our faith. Right now, anchor your destination in God's promises by faith. Joseph's inheritance was faith in God Almighty, in God's faithfulness. A legacy that was fueled into the Exodus. This story of Joseph's faith reminds us that even when we die, God's promises live on. Our faith today can point others towards hope for tomorrow. Just think, Bridge Cities Church, these stories, man, they're just not museum pieces. They are blueprints for us right now. Here's how to apply this faith, okay? One, speak blessings over others right now. Like Isaac and Jacob and Joseph started blessing families and friends and even strangers. Do that. Text somebody. Call somebody and say, man, I believe God has an amazing future for you. Use words like in Numbers 6:24-26, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. That does wonders. Another thing, worship in your weakness. You can plan your legacy with faith. Joseph gave instructions for his bones. Think ahead. Write a faith-filled letter to your kids or grandkids about God's promises. You know, some practical things that we can do to help further this faith, this legacy. My dad, when I was younger, started a family devotion. Every Monday night, we'd get around and he would read scripture to us and we would pray together. And at the time, I'm like, man, I just hope this hurries up. But now that I think about it, I was like, wow, this was a great thing that I'm so glad Dad did. Worship in your weakness is another one. You gotta worship in your weakness. And another one is hold on to hope for tomorrow. man, if you are facing uncertainty, declare Psalms 35 over you. Weeping may stay for the night, but I rejoice because morning's coming. Share this hope. Share it. Man, social media, share it. There's so much garbage on social media. Why don't we start sharing hope on social media? Man, fellow Christ followers, Hebrews 11, 20 through 22 shows us that faith isn't just for mountaintop experiences. It's for deathbeds. It's for deception. It's for deliverance also. Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph blessed the future because they trusted a faithful God. And guess what? That same God is with you today. So let's live encouraging and inspiring lives to bless our worlds around us with faith in a God that loves us so much that he gave himself so that we could live. I want you to remember this. Your faith can reach beyond yourself. The words you speak, the worship you offer, and the hope you live out can leave a legacy that inspires others to trust in God. And as you think about leaving a legacy of faith, man, we're reminded of the greatest legacy ever given. Jesus laying down his life for us. His sacrifice is the anchor of our hope, the reason our faith is secure.